And welcome back to another episode of Conclave Radio. I am one of your hosts, Casey Hall.
Hello, Casey. I'm Clint.
Hello, I'm John Thomas Johnson.
Hello, Clint. Hello, John Thomas Johnson.
Hello.
Conclave's beloved.
Glad to be here.
Oh. I forgot about that nickname.
Conclave's beloved.
Yeah.
Who could ever forget? That's insane. So, we are back. We are staying in Romans. Glad for all of you to come in and join us. Just to mention it, you know, we also started a new, I don't want to say a new podcast, but a new branch of Conclave Radio. We call it Conclave Conversations. Comes out every Monday.
Correct.
We have a new guest. We talk about different topics. Last week, we talked with Andrew Sapp on movies, and we have many more to come, so you should check that out.
Yep.
As well. It comes out on Mondays. So anyway, back to Conclave Radio stuff. We've been in the book of Romans. We actually started at chapter 12 and went from there. We talked about how to live in a society that treats Christians wrongly, basically. In the Roman time, these are the letters Paul writes about how to act, how to live a Christian life, basically. So we started in 12, and then we went into 13, and how to obey authority, especially authority that is against you. And this episode, we're going to talk about, I have a few verses I want to read, but I really just want to talk about chapter 14 as a whole. So you want me
Fire
to
away.
Read? Okay, I'll read. Whoa. And of course, from the Good News version, this is just my version of choice when reading. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 to get us started. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but do not argue with them about their personal opinions. Some people's faith allows them to eat anything, but the person who is weak in faith eats only vegetables. The person who will eat anything is not to despise the one who doesn't, while the one who eats only vegetables is not to pass judgment on the one who will eat anything, for God has accepted that person. Who are you to judge the servants of someone else? It is their own master who will decide whether they succeed or fail, and they will succeed because the Lord is able to make them succeed. So, in the past, we've talked about people against you, and then we've talked about a society against you, an authority against you, an authority you may not agree with, but we still have to submit to it. And in this chapter, we begin talking about others, maybe others who lack faith, who are weak in faith in general, not people who are necessarily against you, but just people in general. And you know, as Christians, we live in a life, well, in a time where, you know, there's a lot of, we hear a lot of opinion. That's a big thing. Either it's on media or in person, individually, there's a lot of opinion. There's a lot of perspective out there that people want to share. And I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to speak your opinion. But what it's saying is, you know, don't speak against someone else's opinion, but welcome them, even if it's a wrong opinion. So what do y'all think about that?
I know that when I was reading verse 1, in the NIV version, it says, except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reminded of a conversation I had with Jason last Wednesday about different denominations and about how in the end we're all Christian, but the idea is that we need to find our core set of values that we believe in, and those are things that we do not argue over. Those are things that we die on the hill for, things mm-hmm. like the virgin birth, atonement of sins, Christ's death and resurrection.
Right.
And ultimately how I see this is that we should not be arguing over the small things or things that are different right. between denominations.
Which one is better?
Because some denominations
yeah. or right.
will call yeah. you heretical over mm-hmm. it, and they will disown you over it. I've heard arguments such as, like, you're eating over certain foods, wearing certain clothes, even the argument of spiritual gifts in some denominations.
Mm-hmm.
But those are not things that I believe are worth dying over when we have the core belief that we already have.
Well, I think it's also important to look at the preface of verse 1 where it says, except other believers who are weak in the faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so the context there is talking about maybe what you might call a baby Christian,
mm-hmm.
maybe who hasn't served the Lord for many
like
decades.
Born again?
I'm sorry?
Like a born again?
Yeah.
Well, someone
a new convert. Found, yeah. A new convert is maybe
found.
What I
who
would say.
Who was lost and then is found.
Yes, yeah. A new convert, someone who doesn't have 30 years of Sunday school under their belt.
Yeah.
And so, which makes a lot of sense, you know. If I, you know, I am relatively new at fishing because I've had to get on board because of Michael. So I am very new at this. I am very ignorant to a lot of things. Like, I know the basics. Like, mm-hmm. I know putting my bait on the hook and I cast it and I reel it in. But there's lots of nuances that I haven't adopted yet because it's just, I'm not there. And right. So I'm going to do things that an expert fisherman probably, if they were wanted to be ultra critical, they could turn their nose up at me and
they would correct you.
They would say, you'll never catch fish like that. And they're probably right. That's why I'm not very successful in it. However, one with more patience would say, man, you know, these things are doing good. Why don't you try this? You know, now they may not say, probably the first thing they would probably tell me is not go buy the $500 reel. They probably say, hey, just give it a little presentation, you know, give it a little twist, a little jerk, a little, you know, a little shimmy, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And, and that's how I read it. Because when I think about new converts and we see maybe they're not living up to the same, what you would expect from a, you know, seasoned Christian. Mm-hmm. And so we say, hey, you're not doing this right, you know, but in reality, they're a baby in Christ.
Right.
And so I don't personally read it as talking in this section about other denominations, even though that is very true what you said.
Yeah.
And I agree wholeheartedly with what you say. But I think this is because, you know, it talks about, you know, for instance, you know, to me that means like this, just for an example, you know, one person says, we'll eat only vegetables. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, you may think that's crazy. But again, if you think about it in the terms of a new convert, you know, it makes a lot more sense. And I think what it's trying to tell us is hey, we need to show grace to those people. Now that doesn't mean you should leave them where they're at. I think the fisherman should tell me some things I need to do.
He should lift you up. He should,
he should help me so I can get better at
those
it.
Those others
right.
up to his level.
Now I'm still a fisherman regardless, whether he helps me or not. That's I'm right, a fisherman. So I would still be a Christian, but he shouldn't leave me there. He should encourage me to keep going on. And I think that's what we have got to do. Maybe if you're around people who are new converts, you don't want to leave them where they're at, but you also don't want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater because maybe they don't live it just like you do.
Yeah.
That you've had the goods for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. I do agree with that because when I read verse 2, what I was getting from it was that somebody that could eat anything is somebody that has been in faith for a very long time. But I remember how we're told when we're younger, eat your vegetables to become big and strong.
Yeah.
And so I read that as so much more as these people, because they are new to faith, they need to be reminded that they have grace.
Yeah.
And that they have repentance and that they can go to it again, even if they mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people may believe that as a young Christian,
the seasoned ones.
That as a young Christian or even as a seasoned Christian, that if they mess up, it may be over for them. But they need to be reminded that they can continuously go back. And back again.
Absolutely. Well, that's part of it. And I even think about it in terms of, I guess, different perspectives, as you may. You know, everyone's relationship with God is different, you know. He doesn't speak to all of us by a burning bush, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have a conversation with someone who says, God talked to me this way, or I heard him this way, or I did this and this and this, you know, some instincts is to think, well, that's crazy. That's not what I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a little insane or over the top. It's probably not how it works. Mm-hmm. But in all honesty, just because it doesn't work for you means, you know, it doesn't work for them.
Well, and the flip side of it is if he's talking specifically about how we should treat maybe new converts, then what does that say about those who are not young converts and how we are to, you know, I mean,
people who we just disagree with.
Yeah.
Well, being like, let's say that you've served the Lord for 25 years and there's someone that served the Lord for 25 years, just like you. And there are things in their lifestyle as a friend of theirs that you see is very contrary to God's word. Well, they're not a young Christian. They're not new in the faith. So they would not technically be weak in the faith, so to speak, because of the years under their belt. How should we address them? Are we sure, or should, I mean, should we dress them still with the same grace that we would want? Sure.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
open arms, help them out.
But again, I think it would be important to say, hey, let's take a look here.
Well, right? That may be a different, I don't want to say weak.
Yeah.
That's probably experience, but weak.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And then later, in here, a lot of all of chapter 14 is talking about others, you know, and it goes into 15 as well. But where is it? In verse 7, it says, "We do not live for ourselves only. We do not die for ourselves only. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live. And if we die, it is for the Lord that we die. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For Christ died and rose to life in order for the Lord. Living is dead." "You then, who eat only vegetables, why do you pass judgment on others? And you who eat anything, why do you despise other believers? All of us will stand before the Lord God and be judged by him. For the scripture says, 'As surely as I am the living God, says the Lord, everyone will kneel before me and everyone will confess that I am God.' Every one of us then will have to give an account to God." And I thought that was really powerful. And, you know, we in this life, we can look at younger converts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
Converts.
Convert. That's what converts. I thought. Converts. Yeah, I thought you said coverts. And I'm like,
that's an interesting. Not covert in the faith.
Yeah, a new convert or experienced and maybe weaker convert or just different experienced Christian. It in the end, it doesn't matter. We're all going to the same place. Yeah. We're all going to talk to the same God. We're all going to give our accounts.
I also think it.
None of us are, quote, right.
Yeah. I also think it's kind of.
Okay, well, okay, hold on. That was a bad. Let me take that back. That's not exactly what I meant.
Since I'm sitting in the Greg seat, I will have to disagree. We'll have to disagree.
Hold on.
That's
not what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are people who are right.
I think there are correct and incorrect interpretations of the gospel.
There are 100% correct and incorrect, right and wrong.
That came out wrong. That's on me.
Sure.
I
just know Greg wouldn't let you get away with that, so I just had to make sure that
I'm glad it's just
I picked up the mantle.
I'm glad it's just
something
you.
I also get from those verses is that it's kind of telling us that we should, no matter if we're experienced or inexperienced as Christians, we should be willing to humble ourselves to learn from both sides. Because sometimes the inexperienced Christian has a lot to learn from the experienced, and sometimes the experienced has a lot to learn from the inexperienced.
Well, the inexperienced can have new experiences that we just haven't experienced before. You know, I think there's a lot to learn. You know, I think that that's always something I found interesting is, you know, I've been in the church my entire life. There are people who've been in the church their entire life, and they get in the routine. You know, they can be considered experienced, but they get in the routine. They know what's right and what's wrong. And then you come across someone who hasn't been in church their whole life. They've been a sinner. They've been lost. And in some time, you know, when they get to around our age, which is around their 20s, or maybe even later, you know, they become found. And they have this different new, what seems to be really intimate relationship and passionate relationship with God that, you know what I'm talking about? How, like, if you're just someone who's experienced, you know, you go through the motions, you go through the routine. So it's just different experiences can create different accounts and stories.
Because, like you said, we all have individual relationships with God. Mm-hmm. God speaks and works in mysterious ways.
And everyone has their own testimony as well.
So we all have.
God uses that testimony. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. You kind of took the words out of my mouth.
Anyway. Oh, okay.
So
my apologies. No, you can say it too if you want. Nate, I would love for you to join the conversation.
Okay.
In place of Clint. We were talking about Romans 14. What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
hot seat, boom.
I think that just kind of addresses, in my mind, the difference between denominations.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of saying, like, you know, we all have Jesus in common, you know, like if you believe Jesus came and died for you and, you know, there's a heaven and everything like that. If you believe in that, then
Yeah, that's what actually that's what we were just talking about a few minutes ago. Yeah. It's finding the absolute truths within the denomination, and that's what we should focus on.
Right. And then after that, it's like, you know, do you get baptized, you know, underwater? Do you get sprinkled on? You know what I mean? And stuff like that.
It's all baptism.
Yeah, it's just like after that, you know, even like the end times, talking about like tribulation, you know, does he come halfway through? Does he come after? Does he come before? You know, like stuff like that, you know, it's not important. What's important is, you know, what we all have in common, mm-hmm. and that's
absolutely, you know,
Jesus.
Ironically, yeah, absolutely. I brought up that point at the beginning. So
yeah, we did, but that's fine.
Which is very strange.
That's good though. That you're kind of on the same mindset and on the same topic as well.
but I think we were relating it also to new believers versus old believers as well.
New and younger converts and how we should treat them, or different experienced Christians. How we find the similarities and how we treat them equally, because in the end we're all going to the same place, and that's what.
So one question I do have that comes up with this is, why does it say that new believers should not judge old believers?
Well, I think it goes back to how they have a different experience. You know, I think
do you think it's one of those old ways versus new ways kind of thing, or
very possibly, because you see the church modernizing all the time, you know, things are getting different, quote non-denominational churches.
I have this problem. You have to like know that people are never wrong on purpose. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everybody thinks what they think because of, you know, either how they were raised or what they see or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So nobody is really ever wrong in their own perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to.
Well, that's what we were also saying earlier, is some people are wrong. They're definitely.
Well, they are wrong, but like in
they're right people
from their perspective. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah, from they don't realize they're wrong.
Right.
It's a heart issue at that point.
Yeah.
So.
Well, heart and information. It could be just something that they were raised into and they don't realize. Mm-hmm. So in the end, we all go to the same place, talk to the same God, all give our own accounts. We are all equal.
I see this more as a call for unity in the church.
Absolutely.
Not just above young and new old and new believers, but also just between different denominations of people.
All of the church.
Because it is important to also realize that Paul was also sending. I think this is one of the later letters. Paul has seen a lot of different versions of the church and has had to correct a lot of versions of the church. And so he's seen effectively early denominationals form. And I think this is him just trying to reaffirm that it doesn't matter what the denomination believes. All that matters is that Jesus is at the core of the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all depends on the absolute truths, mm-hmm. Big T truths.
I think that's the big theme of tonight.
The big T truths and unity.
Yeah.
And all right, I think that was another fantastic episode. Thank you, Nate. John Thomas Johnson, JTJ, Godclave's beloved.
I have a lot of nicknames.
Clint Johnson.
He was here.
And I'm Casey Hall. Thank you for listening to Conclave Radio. If you want to get in touch with Conclave, fantastic. You can actually find us all over social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. And our services are at Metropolitan Church of God. They start at 6 o'clock.
You can watch us online.
And yes, we stream it to our YouTube channel, just Conclave. We are part of Metropolitan Church of God, like I said. And of course, you can also watch Metropolitan Church's live stream as well on Sunday mornings with Pastor Jason Browning.
Where he brings the fire.
Where he does bring the fire. And also...
And the jokes.
If you you can also watch Conclave Radio on our YouTube. Not Conclave Conversation, but Conclave Radio. We record ourselves... If you'd love to see what we look like, we are beautiful. I can't actually deny the truth there. So, give that a like, a share, a comment, a tweet, a Facebook post, wherever you want to share it on social media. And don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe on all of our streaming platforms as well. And I think that's a fantastic episode, a fantastic wrap up. And I'll see you next time on
Conclave Radio.